Down through the years, more myths have grown up about the life of Abraham Lincoln than about any other man in American history. One author has written an entire book of myths about Lincoln. Typical of these legends is the one which has it that Lincoln was impressed at an early age with the evils of slavery and fashioned his whole career upon a dedication to strike it a blow. Unquestionably, Lincoln did hate slavery, but he was a man of great understanding and common sense. He recognized that it was impracticable to free all the slaves in the southern states at one fell swoop. When he made his race for the presidency in 1860, he stated that he would not disturb chattel slavery where it already was established, but that he would oppose its spread to the territories of the West. Soon after his election, in November of 1860, the southern states carried out their threat to withdraw from the Union. There's every evidence that Lincoln was just as confused about what could be done as were other Americans. He didn't like the idea of coercing the South. He was not even sure that the North would support such a measure. In some quarters, there were those who were crying, "Let the erring sisters depart in peace." While Buchanan fumbled impotently, Lincoln had time to determine on a course of action. He decided that he would simply attempt to hold on to those forts and other federal possessions in the South which were still in federal hands when he took over. Such a move would place the Union in a defensive position and force the South to take the initiative. This is precisely what the South did when the first shots were fired at Fort Sumter. Now the issue was not slavery or even whether the southern states were to be forced back into the Union. Now it simply was an issue of defending the Union. The Stars and Stripes had been fired on. Thousands of northern volunteers responded to Father Abraham's call. Not to free the slaves, but to preserve the Union. This was by no means pleasing to the radical abolitionists. They wanted the war to be a crusade against slavery. Lincoln had made it into a war to save the Union. Well, what was the Union? If it was to be, when reestablished, a union with slaveholders, then the abolitionists wanted none of it. Horace Greeley, the influential editor of the New York Tribune, wrote to Lincoln about war aims. Replied Lincoln,
"My paramount object in this struggle is to save the Union, and it is not either to save or destroy slavery. If I could save the Union without freeing any slave, I would do it. And if I could save it by freeing all the slaves, I would do it. And if I could save it by freeing some and leaving others alone, I would also do that."
There is no reason to believe that there was any insincerity in those words. Lincoln had been against slavery, yes. He had been associated with a project to colonize the slaves in Africa, to get rid of slavery by sending the slaves back to the land from whence their forebears came. But that didn't work. In March 1862, he laid before Congress a bill which would compensate a state at so much for each slave whenever that state should abolish slavery. This was essentially the way that Great Britain had abolished slavery in her possessions. Congress passed an appropriate resolution, but no slave state accepted the suggestion. You see, slavery was not entirely an economic question. It was white supremacy which was the issue then, as it still is today in the South. The year 1862 was a trying one for Lincoln and the Union. Although federal armies won victories in the West, they suffered repeated defeats in the East, and Great Britain seemed to be on the verge of recognizing the Confederate government. Had that happened, the South could have gotten financial support in Europe, and the blockade of the southern ports would have been extremely difficult. The average Britisher still regarded the United States as an upstart and observed with equanimity the prospect of its imminent breakup. But slavery was a different matter. England had a strong dislike for slavery. So long as the Civil War was being fought to preserve the Union, many Britishers were not especially interested. But if it were to be a war against slavery, then they would be in sympathy with the North. In this country, there was also a growing group of radicals who took up the abolitionist crusade against slavery for their own political purposes. They were opposed to Lincoln and had no use for his kindly and humane attitudes. They hated the South. They wanted revenge. Lincoln had little use for these people, but he was sensible enough to realize that during a war for the Union, the North must be united. The Emancipation Proclamation was the answer to both of these problems. It would swing the British over to the Union side, and it would pacify the radicals. On July 22, 1862, Lincoln read the proposed proclamation to his cabinet. All but one member endorsed it, but thought that it should be held up until a military victory would make its publication timely. On September the 17th occurred the Battle of Sharpsburg, or Antietam, as it is sometimes called. Well, it was a far from a clear-cut victory for the Union, but the invasion of Maryland by Lee and his Army of Virginia was at least checked by this bloody engagement. On the 22nd day of September, 1862, therefore, Abraham Lincoln issued the Emancipation Proclamation.
On the first day of January in the year of our Lord, 1863, all persons held as slaves within any state or designated part of a state, the people whereof shall then be in rebellion against the United States, shall be then, thenceforward, and forever free.
Thus what Lincoln issued on September 22nd was merely a notice that he would free slaves in such states or portions of states as were in rebellion unless they laid down their arms by January 1st. The proclamation had no effect on the South. Indeed, Lincoln had no idea that it would have. Accordingly, on January the 1st, 1863, he issued the final decree that the slaves in the rebellious states were now free. The Emancipation Proclamation accomplished what it was intended to accomplish. It prevented recognition of the Confederacy by the British government. It pacified the radicals and the abolitionists in the North. But it actually freed no slave, for it pertained only to those areas in rebellion, and over those areas Lincoln had no control. There were several states, like Maryland and Kentucky, which had slavery but were on the Union side. The Emancipation Proclamation did not affect slavery in those states, because they were not in rebellion. Furthermore, there is serious doubt whether President Lincoln had the legal right to free the slaves, even as a military measure. The proclamation did make clear, however, that the bloody war, which was still raging, had destroyed the slave system beyond recall. Before the close of the war, the 13th Amendment to the Constitution had been framed. It read,
"Neither slavery nor involuntary servitude, except as a punishment for crime whereof the party shall have been duly convicted, shall exist within the United States, or any place subject to their jurisdiction. Congress shall have power to enforce this article by appropriate legislation."
That amendment was approved by the necessary two-thirds vote of both houses of Congress on January 31st, 1865. And ratification by the requisite number of states was completed on December 18th of that same year. On that date, the long struggle to abolish slavery was at last finished. But alas, the race problem was far from settled. The South sought to reestablish slavery in a new guise by apprenticeship and vagrancy laws. Congress countered with the Civil Rights Bill, which was eventually incorporated into the 14th Amendment. It guaranteed to all the equal rights of citizenship. And Congress went on to adopt the 15th Amendment, prohibiting any state from denying to a person the right to vote because of race, color, or previous condition of servitude. For a dozen years after the war, federal troops patrolled the South, and the freedom, the civil rights, and the political rights of the former slaves were protected. But there was an ominous note even before the federal troops were withdrawn. The Ku Klux Klan raised its ugly head and sought to accomplish by illegal means what a war had failed to accomplish and what the law now prohibited. As soon as the federal troops were pulled out, the South sought by means of intimidation and all kinds of clever legislation to deny to the former slaves and their descendants equal rights. And that continues down to the present day. The more intelligent and informed people of the South are beginning to show their concern for this situation. But the great masses of Southern whites still are determined to keep the South a white man's country. They thunder in righteous wrath against the president's civil rights program, but they are fighting a losing battle. If they desert the Democratic Party, they will find no solace within the Republican ranks, for the Republican Party is expected to adopt an equally strong civil rights plank. Thus, the emancipation of a people from slavery was not accomplished on September the 22nd, 1862, when a great and good president issued a proclamation. It has been a long and slow process, one that is still far from complete. The Emancipation Proclamation was not the end. It was only the beginning of a long battle for equal rights and freedom for the men and women, their children and descendants, who had been held in thraldom.